The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
So Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Many times when we are face to face with situations that seem impossible, if you know that movie, Coach Carter, you remember that he told the guy that what you are about to do is impossible. You're not going to be able to do as many as you need to do in the amount of time that you had. But it's amazing how with the help of other people, the impossible can become possible. See, family, trying to get through life, it's difficult and sad if we try to walk through it alone. Friendships, partnerships, they are, whether we like it or not, they are an important piece of the puzzle of life, trying to get through life. It's important to have someone to share our lives with. It's important to have people in our lives. Being alone is not really a good thing. Even those that like to be alone, they don't really want to be alone. Don't want to be alone. Companionship is something that we feel and we desire deep down inside. It's so real, and with all the difficulties we have in our culture today, it's so real that it can and does do some really weird things. MIT professor Sherry Turkle, she tells the story. She says, years ago of having a computer companion in the future, and she described the upside to me. It's not that the robot she'd imagine, a vastly more sophisticated Siri, was so inspiring. It's that she'd already found people to be so disappointing. This is a 16-year-old girl. And now, for the first time, she explained to me that people have options. Back then, she said, I thought her comments seemed prescient or futuristic. She says, now I find them timely. There are people who have tried to make friends but stumbled so badly that they've given up, she said. So when they hear this idea of robots as companions, well, it's not like a robot has the mind to walk away or leave you or anything like that. Turkle admits that robots may not break your heart, but they're also incapable of real love. She adds, these robots can perform empathy in a conversation about your friend, your mother, your child, but they have no experience of any of these relationships. Machines have not known or love we describe them. So I bring up this illustration because I think that's really interesting. It shows us that companionship and friendship are so necessary and so deep, the need is so deep down inside of us that it seems that a loveless robot is actually better than nothing. Interesting. A loveless robot, better than nothing. So we see, family, that the need for partnership, the need for relationships, the need for friendships, it's real. But what if we think that there are other things that can replace it? Working more, gaining wealth, gain and more gain at the expense of friendship. Go for the money instead of relationships. Well, you know what? Solomon gives us some insight into this, and we will explore today why he says two are better than one. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much. Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. God, today we pray that you will transform us. Transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, so that we can truly not walk in step with the pattern of the world, but Father, that we will walk in step with the truth of the gospel. Father, I pray that you will burn that deep down in our hearts today. Father, that we will run hard after you as a deer pants for streams of water. Notes, is the meaninglessness of isolation or lack of community. Okay, it's meaningless. Even with me, myself, and I. I'll explain later. The second thing is we're going to explore Solomon's conclusion that companionship is truly better than isolation and loneliness because two are better than one. And finally, we're going to see the isolation and separation that we had from the Father because of sin. But because Christ is the friend of sinners, we were reconciled to the Father with a bond even stronger than a cord of three strands. Because a cord of three strands is not easily broken. But a bond with the Father through Jesus Christ will never be broken. So the thesis today is this. Though sin and the pattern of this world may cause us to chase selfish gain instead of meaningful relationships, it's the truth of the scriptures, the love of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause us to see and desire fellowship in Christ with his body, the church. All right, so number one, me, myself, and I, vanity of loneliness. So there was a guy that I was counseling with many years ago, and he talked about how he just liked to be alone. He didn't want to have friendship, didn't want to have community, didn't want to have fellowship. And so I brought up the whole concept in Scripture, in Ecclesiastes, about the cord of three strands. You know, it's not easily broken, cord of three strands. Relationships, how important relationship is. And he told me, hey, you know what? I have a cord of three strands. Me, myself, and I. Clever, I thought, that's clever, but wrong and depressing. Sad. So what happens here is the preacher tells us a sad, sad story. We don't know who this man is. He's not mentioned by name, but he's quite alone. He is alone. There's no wife, no child, therefore no heir for everything that he has gained, everything that he worked hard for. He's working for himself, and there's no one else to share in the blessings. He is quite alone, even with me, myself, and I. And when we're looking at this man, Koheleth, the teacher, Solomon, saw meaninglessness from the beginning to the very end. Day after day, hour after hour, working away from dawn till dusk, 60-hour weeks, 70-hour work week, and having no wife and having no child, he could do this. You know, you could put in 70-hour work weeks if you didn't have a wife and a child. And so he did this. And he is what Derek Kidner calls the compulsive moneymaker, the guy that just makes all this money. But here's what Solomon says, but for what purpose? What's the point? What's the point of it all? Because no matter what he gained, no matter what he accomplished, the man had no one to share it with. No one. No one to share it with. He was working hard, and he was working too hard to have time to even make friends or to even start a family. He just worked, work, and just work and work after work, and then just continue to keep working. He's quite alone, even with me, myself, and I. Meaningless, depressing. So here he was, family, making sacrifices to advance his career, to build up his bank, never considering whether it was worth it. But we see it here. The preacher, Solomon, Koheleth, he could see flat out, here it is not worth it. Just in case you were wondering, it is not worth it. The man and his sacrifices were worthless. His possessions could never satisfy his soul. And without anyone to share it, his life would end in utter unhappiness. Meaningless, even with me, myself, and I. And babes, I don't know if you remember this, but when every time I come to this passage of scripture, I always think about our neighbor. Yeah? Our neighbor. Here's a guy we used to live next to at the church in Hawaii. And he told my wife one day, he's just like, you guys got kids. You got lots and lots of kids. And he was just like, you know what? That's great. That's awesome. We are so glad that you have lots and lots of kids. Because me and my wife, we chose to chase money and chose our career. We chose success, we chose accomplishments instead of having kids. So instead of having kids, we were just going to work. And here they were, older, they're retired. He says, man, I got to have no happiness. And he said this, he goes, good, I'm so glad you guys have kids because when you become our age, you won't regret it. He regretted it. Here it is, chased all this stuff, had all this money, had all this accomplishment, all this success. And here in the end of his life, he regrets making that decision. It's better to have children, better to have people in your life. The preacher is warning us against isolation, against selfishness, against greed, and the sinful addiction to work. Let me say that again, sinful addiction to work. There is such a thing as a sinful addiction to work. Yet most Americans continue to believe that we can make it on our own. Our rugged individualism is what we call it. Individualism. One of the saddest quotes from a movie that I had saw years and years and years ago. She said this, she's talking to her daughter and she says this, you're old enough now to learn the most important lesson in life. You cannot count on anyone except yourself. It's sad, but true. And the sooner you learn it, we hear today? Yeah, we're all nodding our heads. It is something that we hear today. You can't count on anybody but yourself. Can't count on them. Can't count on no one. And saying here, living and working for ourselves is essentially the fastest way to turn the American dream into a nightmare. Fastest way. And he's saying all of it is meaningless. It's all meaningless. So then he goes on, I'm going to tell you a better way. I'm going to give you a better way. So point number two, Solomon is saying two are better than one. He's saying a better way to live, a better way to work. So according to this simple, I'm wondering if you remember this word, according to this simple juxtaposition, you guys remember that from, okay, some of you guys don't, comparison, all right, comparison. According to this simple comparison, it's better to share our life and share our work than to try to make it on our own. That's essentially what he's saying. It's better to do this. Solomon, and I want us to see this, is really important. Solomon is not talking about marriage here. He's talking about all of our other relationships as well. Okay, and I just want us to make sure that we get that out of our mind, that even if it comes to a place where we're just like, you know what, I got you babes, we got each other, that us against the world, that's not so good either. We have other relationships that we need in our life. We have other relationships that we've got to cherish, that we've got to nurture. Because here it is, the most important thing that we've got to understand is that we were never designed to live alone. We were designed to always live in community with each other. We were designed for that. Right? Two are always, is going to always be better than one. One scholar wrote this: the buddy system is not just for school, field trips, and swimming in the ocean. It is God's plan for our life and service to Him. And you know what? It's always been this way from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, I will make a helper who is just right for him. So, and here's the other thing too, I want us to see, is that when Jesus went away, he gave us a command. He said, love each other as I have loved you. And you know, when he said that, that was supposed to be our comfort. I know that when I leave, I know that you're going to be upset. And when I leave, I know that you're going to be sad. But this is the one comfort I give you. Love each other as I have loved you. You see? Be there for one another. He didn't tell us, hey, you know what? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and you're going to be fine on your own. Fine by yourself. He didn't say that. Love each other. Jesus desired for us to continue to be in community. And that community is supposed to be comfort. Comfort for what? For our Lord and Savior leaving us to go to heaven. I mean, what could be worse than that? Jesus leaving the earth to go be in heaven. I mean, I you know what I'm talking about. Not that it's bad that Jesus is ruling and reigning from the right hand of God. Okay, that's great. But what I'm saying is that he's leaving us to go, to prepare a place for us. And Jesus, I'm going to give you there for each other. Togetherness is better than loneliness. Yes, connection is better than competition. And right there, with everything that he said, that should be enough. But if we need more reasons to prove that two are better than one, then here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Some of you may have heard this before. What is better than one steak dinner? Two steak dinners. See, when two work together, they can be more productive. More productive. We know that when two people work together, they can accomplish more than twice as much as either one could accomplish alone. It's better. So even if your whole goal was productivity, and that's what you wanted to do, is produce. Well, guess what? If you have somebody with you doing it, you can do so much more. Two are also better than one because they can help one another in times of trouble. Chapter 4, verse 10. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But if someone who falls alone is in real trouble. See, it's pretty clear here. It's a warning. And this warning, I actually think it might still be on. But you know what it reminds me of? You know, when somebody falls and they can reach out for somebody, but if they fall and they fall alone, that there's nobody there to actually help them up. It reminds me of that commercial that we see on TV, especially during the games, where the lady says, "I've fallen and I can't get up." Right? "I've fallen and I can't get up." But see, here's the reality. And sometimes this, in this life, this happens not just literally. I mean, it does happen literally, where people literally will fall and they can't get up. But it also happens metaphorically as well. Sometimes, many times, lots of times, we need help. We sometimes, many times, lots of times, need lots of help. That's why two are better. We get knocked down all the time, not just literally, metaphorically, with life's troubles, life's trials, things that happen within our lives. Sometimes something or somebody pushes us down and we can't get up and we need help to get up in life. Sometimes we just trip over our own 2 feet, don't we? Things that we do. And either way, we end up on the ground, we need help up. We try something new, we end up failing. We find that we've fallen and we can't get up. We got relationships in life that end up getting broken. Relationships, broken hearts, betrayals, all kinds of things that happen. Just even when our relationships, and we find that we've fallen and we can't get up. Financial difficulties, a lot of times, will make us feel desperate. And then we find that we've fallen and we just can't get up. Against our better judgment, we fall into all kinds of sins that bring all kinds of consequences. And for sure, we have fallen and we can't get up. Two are better than one. Help. Because sometimes in life, no help. He goes on to say, two are better than one because it's essential to survival. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 11. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? All right, so let me jump in here. At first, I know us, we'll come to this passage of scripture and the first thing we think of is the marriage bed. Okay? But the implications of what he's saying here is actually not that. Okay? It's so much wider than this. What the preacher has in mind, the context and the way the flow goes, is someone who is traveling maybe through the wilderness. Traveling. The desert gets really cold at night. And if a pilgrim, someone who is traveling, walking alone, and if he's by himself, he could freeze. And maybe freeze to death. But he won't if he has a companion. That's what Solomon is saying here. Two are better than one. This is not just good travel advice, family. I mean, it's good travel advice, but it's not just good travel advice. But it's wisdom for our souls. There's spiritual warmth in going through life with others in the faith for a long time. You know this. It is common for people to grow cold in Christianity, in Christian life. We've seen it. Many of us have probably seen it, that over the years they've grown cold in Christian life. They've become numb to the work, become numb to the Word of God, and spiritually they could freeze to death. But that's what he's saying here. When we're growing cold, the metaphoric heat of another Christian can warm us up. Prayer of an elder, prayer of a deacon, another church member, the prayer can warm us up. The verse that our friend shares from the scriptures, I can't tell you how many times that has happened, where people who are just numb and cold, and sometimes just somebody sitting down and sharing their favorite verse. "Hey, I just want to share my favorite verse with you," and boom, the lights come back on. It's amazing how that happens sometimes. An exhortation from another individual that will turn an individual's heart back to God. Sure, I have testimonies of, man, you know, I was going through a rough time, but you know, Pastor Shane came through, and he talked with me, and he helped me, and Pastor Shane did this, and Pastor Shane did that, but I can't tell you how many times I've heard just members, the names of members, a difficult time, but Mike said something, Howard said something, Bob said something, and I can't tell you how many times that actually happens. We need each other. And here we have Christians, other people around us within the church, essentially are the sparks that God uses to keep the fire burning within our hearts. That's awesome. It's amazing. All of us together here in this room, we all can be sparks for each other to help keep the fire burning, to help keep each other warm. Another thing, he says, two are better than one because there's safety in numbers. There's safety in numbers. There's danger, right? Travelers that are walking, what they face along the open road. This is especially true during Solomon's time, even Jesus' time with the parable, right? The parables that he gives. And we see that there's always danger of being attacked by robbers when you're walking, when you're traveling. So this is another reason why two are better than one, because they can protect each other. Is that what we do? Is that what we're called? Isn't this what Christ is explaining to us and telling us? And what we see illustrated in the parable of the Good Samaritan, attacked by robbers. Two are better than one. Because verse 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three is even better. Three is even stronger, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There's safety in numbers. Safety in numbers. Two people are more than twice, at least, twice as hard to defeat as one. Two people. So sometimes all it takes to protect us is one person who says, you know what? I got your back. Here it comes. We already got danger. There's the attack. It's coming. And if another person is there, we can stand back to back, having each other's back, back to back. Cord of three strands. Now, I know that it's common, and I know that I've done this as well, you know, to say, well, the cord of three strands is the one that you use for the weddings. You know, right, that you're bonded together with the weddings. So, again, I don't think that contextually he's talking about the cord of three strands, that being the husband, the wife, and the Holy Spirit, okay? I mean, I'm not saying that that's wrong. It's great. But the point that Solomon is making here is that two are better than one, but three is even better. You can stand back to back to back. Three is even better. So he's just talking about the more people that you have in your life, the better. Two are better than one, but three is even better than that. And you know what's better than three? Four is better than that. And what's better than four? Five is better than that. It just goes on and on. This is the point that he's trying to make. It is not good for us to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone. And some of you say, well, you know, I don't travel the open road, Shane. You know, I don't know if I need to, you know, stand back to back to back to back. But you know what? We still face spiritual danger every single day. The world is full of the desire of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's awful. Satan is always prowling around like a roaring lion. And when it comes, family, to us facing these potential dangers in our lives, guess what? Two are better than one. And it's something that we're facing all the time. We need each other today. Oh, we need each other today. If we live close with other believers, there is always someone that will stand with us. There is always someone that will fight with us. There's always someone that will cover us with the protection of prayer, that will cover us with the word. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for many of you. When I was going through my difficult time with my friend of mine passing away, I am so thankful for a lot of you. Many of you came up and you guys assured me that you've been praying for me. I'm here for you. You know, if you need anything, that was great. And something that absolutely helped me to take the next step to say, hey, you know what? This is great. There's people out here to help. There's people out here to protect. They can accomplish. There's so much. Two are better than one. Three is even better. But we know all this, right? But boy, does loneliness exist in our world today. Lots and lots of loneliness. To point out how lonely people can be, I was reading something, Charles Swindoll, he had mentioned an ad in a Kansas newspaper. It read, "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. Again, I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. Swindoll said, "Sounds like a hoax, doesn't it?" But the person was serious. And did anybody call? Oh, yeah. It wasn't long before this individual was actually receiving 10 to 20 calls a day. 10 to 20 calls a day. The pain of loneliness in this world is so sharp that some are willing to try anything, pay anything for a half hour of companionship. Well, we recognize in this world are lonely. Many people in this world, they need a friend. Many people are face to face with loneliness. It's all over. They're all over. What will we do? What will we recognize? Many people in this world are alone, they're desperate. People in this world are alone, depressed, alone, and hopeless. We talked about suicide. I gave you some statistics on suicide a couple of weeks ago. And I wonder, we talked about it in the U.S. and we talked about it specifically in Colorado. But did you know that suicide is the number one cause of death for men under the age of 40 or 45 years and under in the UK? I gave a statistics in the United States. I found out suicide is the number one cause of death for men 45 years and under in the UK. Anxiety, and no one to help, no help, no security, no protection. That's why Solomon is saying two are better than one, three even better. People, relationships, family, community, fellowship, these aren't all just buzzwords or the popular words to say in our culture today. Do we mean it? Do we believe it? But Jesus, we see here, point number three, Jesus is truly the friend that we need most of all. And why is that? Because let me say this, as bad as our loneliness, as bad as our isolation in this world under the sun is, as bad as it is nothing compared to the loneliness and separation that we experience from God the Father because of sin. That's the worst thing of all. Our isolation and our separation. We chased after our selfish desires just like the lonely man did. And now we have absolutely nothing to show for it. We decided to chase the money. Many of us decided to chase the love of money. Instead of following God, we decided to follow mammon. And we have nothing to show for it. It's all meaningless. We recognize it's all vanity, chasing vapor, chasing the wind. We've got nothing and no one to really share it with. And because of this separation, we will be alone in our sin, alone in utter darkness for all eternity. Spiritually speaking, here we are, we have this situation. We're separated from God the Father. And you know what? There is nothing we can do about it. Think about this. Watch this. Alone with this situation that we have, we could not accomplish anything. There's no accomplishing things. There's no success when it comes to the chasm that we have between us and God. Did we have the ability? No ability to do that. In sin, we have fallen and we can't get up. We couldn't survive the wrath that was coming. Family, I'm sorry. We are not going to survive the wrath of God. Wrath of God coming. Wrath of God in Romans 1 being poured out on all the world. Do you know, I keep thinking about how God told Moses, all I need to do is look at you. Now he's going to look with wrath? We're not going to survive that. Nothing in this world could protect us from falling into the hands of the living God. We were in real trouble, family. We were in real, real trouble. Because all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We were all by nature children of wrath. That's the reality. That's our plight. That's the situation. But you know what? We were not left all alone in this. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And this friend came to help us. We couldn't do it alone, but with Christ, oh, we can do all things. We could not do it alone, but Jesus came to help us. He helped us up when he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We couldn't survive the fires of hell without him. We could not be protected alone. That's why Jesus came to save us from the wrath of God. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day, all according to the scriptures. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He certainly has our back. He's shown us that he has our back. And he showed it to us with stripes on his back. We know that a cord of three strands, we know that it's not easily broken. But family, I'm here to tell you something. Jesus Christ will never be broken. Never be broken. The promises are there. Promises are there. John chapter 10, verse 29. John chapter 10, verse 29. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. Oh man, it's never going to be broken, family. You see that? It's never going to be broken because of what our Lord has done. The promises are there for us today. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We just quoted from the book of John. John says he wrote this book so that you may believe and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you will have life in his name. He didn't leave us alone. He could have left us alone, but he didn't leave us alone. He knew we could not pick ourselves up. He knew we wouldn't survive the wrath. He knew we needed to be protected. That's why Jesus shed his blood to cover us with the blood of Christ there today. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our Savior. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is sitting at the right hand throne of the Father. Lean on Jesus today. When you're not strong, he has already shown that he is your friend. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. He will help us carry on. Lean on Christ today. Because if two are better than one, then with Christ, it's the best of all. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.